You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
InSight is a safe injection facility located in Vancouver. It's visited by 700 to 800 people a day, and it's been the source of controversy since it opened in 2007. Donald McPherson is the former drug policy coordinator for the City of Vancouver, and he's joined me this morning to talk about the past and future of safe injection sites in Canada. Hello, Donald.
Good morning.
Now, safe injection sites aren't new. The InSight is Canada's first safe injection site, but they're not new. Could you tell us a little bit about the European model for injection sites?
Well, InSight opened in 2003, and I just happened to be at a meeting in Bern, Switzerland for the 20th anniversary of their injection site, which I believe is one of the first injection sites in the world, and that was opened in 1984. And so the Europeans sort of figured this out in the late 80s as they were addressing very similar situations that we have in Vancouver: high overdose death rate, HIV transmission among injection drug users, open drug scenes, those sorts of things. So they implemented a whole array of what they call low threshold programs, and the injection rooms were just a piece of that strategy.
So they're in a number of different countries, a number in each country, that kind of thing?
Yes, there's quite a few of them in Europe, in Germany, in Switzerland, the Netherlands, in Spain, Belgium, there's one in Oslo, Norway. So they're just part of the array of services. They're quite a well-accepted part. They're not the silver bullet. They're not the answer there, but they're a really important part of bringing people in from the cold, as it were, and bringing people into contact with health services.
So you say that they're well-accepted, so they'd be well-accepted by the general public, by politicians?
Yeah, the places I visited, and some of them quite recently in the Netherlands and in Germany, they're really a non-issue. They're just one of the things that goes on when people are dealing with sort of a marginalized addiction population of people with addictions. They're seen as an integral part of an approach, and not the only part.
What were the events that drove Vancouver to open Canada's first safe injection site?
Well, in the late 90s, or all through the 90s, I would say, in Vancouver and in other parts of the country as well, and other parts of BC, we were really attempting to mount a response to what I refer to as a public policy disaster. We had people dying on the streets of the downtown east side. We had people contracting HIV through injection drug use at a tremendous, a very high rate. Hepatitis C. We had open drug scenes. There was really nowhere for people with severe addictions and in many cases mental health problems to go. They were living in terrible housing situations or on the street. And so the idea of a place for people to go and safely inject drugs where they would not run such a high risk of dying and or catching deadly bloodborne diseases was something that came into the lexicon in the 90s.
Now, I mean, I remember the switch from talking about drug use as a law and order issue to talking about it as a health issue. Yet some people still believe that illegal drug use is best handled with police and with courts and with prison. What kind of evidence do you present when you're talking about it to prove that it really is a health issue?
Well, Vince Kane, the chief coroner of the province in 1994, released a report which I think still stands as one of the best reports ever written on the subject. And he was an ex-cop, and he was the chief coroner. And he clearly said he traveled the province, talked to everybody, drug users, professionals, parents, youth, police, prison workers. And he clearly said, look, we're doing this the wrong way. We are spending oodles and oodles and millions of dollars on the criminal justice side of this with very, very poor results. And the poor results we saw in spades in the 90s, in Vancouver particularly. So from that point on, the sort of notion of addiction as a public health issue really started to take root. walking the talk is another thing. It's really difficult to move people. People get that. We all agree, drug addiction is a public health thing, but we still keep behaving as if the criminal justice system is actually going to solve the problem. And that's just not going to be the case.
Past federal governments appear to have been supportive, albeit reluctantly, of the opening of INSITE. How is the current federal government influencing the future of sites in Canada?
Well, the current federal government is dead set against this kind of intervention. So they've really put a chill on local discussions of expansion of injection rooms in Vancouver, implementation of injection rooms in Montreal, Toronto, Victoria. There's lots of talk across the country of the need for these kinds of services, especially when people look at the research attached to INSITE, which is so positive and shows that it's helped so many people. No one has died there. So there's a real interest across the country, and I'd say across North America. They're talking about it in San Francisco, in New York. But the federal government has really put a chill on it, because currently we need to officially establish an injection room, you need federal approval. And that's something that may be fought out in the courts, emanating from the court case around INSITE.
You think it should be a provincial?
Well, there's a question marks now as to what jurisdiction should have responsibility for mounting these kinds of responses. If it's a public health response, then clearly the provinces have a big say in it. So right now, we need the federal approval of the federal minister of health to open an injection room. But if it becomes a provincial responsibility, that could change. And that, so there's a debate going on there now in the courts, and we're waiting for the BC Court of Appeal to come back with its decision as to on the court case that the INSITE went to the Supreme Court of BC, and the federal government lost that case.
Now, INSITE is standalone. What kind of other facilities could, for example, incorporate a safe injection site or room?
All sorts of anywhere where there's a sort of public health primary care offerings, health clinics, hospitals, drop-in centers, shelters. Recently, I think that one of the tragedies of the way we're dealing with homelessness is that we're not acknowledging that many of the homeless people are drug users. So we're establishing shelters, and we're having to defend those shelters by saying there will be no drug use in these shelters. Well, we might as well be saying there will be drug use on the streets of your neighborhood, because we are not building that into the shelter program. In Europe and other jurisdictions, injection rooms are just part of usually larger facilities. They're a room off to one side, because drug users have lots of medical problems, health problems, psychological problems, usually, especially homeless populations. So they're more multi-service type centers that acknowledge that, sometime during the day someone may have to inject. So we will also make sure that happens in a safe and clean, hygienic environment.
So you could imagine, for example, that a hospital like St. Paul's, which serves the downtown core, then would have a safe injection room, and that would have an impact on outcomes for patients?
I would think so. I think many drug users leave hospital prematurely because they need to get back to their drug dealer to get their fix. So to me, it's insane, really, that we have these hospitals set up that acknowledge addiction is a health issue, that acknowledge drug addiction is a health issue, yet when a person who is addicted is in the hospital, they may or may not be able to get the adequate medication to address their addiction. So therefore, often people leave to get back to the drug scene, which is the only place that they can actually buy drugs.
Now, you're no longer working for the city as the drug policy coordinator, but I know you're not leaving the issue. What's your vision for what should happen now?
Well, I've decided to leave the city and throw a good part of my energy towards focusing on the larger issue of drug prohibition and the criminalization of people who use drugs. To me, much of the harm that emanates from the use of drugs is directly caused by the drug laws themselves. And I think in 50 years we will look back, I hope we will look back on these days and say, what were we thinking? We were chasing these often poor, often abused, addicted people around the streets of the cities of Canada, when saying that they had a health problem, but treating them as if they were the absolute modern-day lepers of society. So until we decriminalize that activity and look towards regulating all substances, we're sort of caught in a loop. Even though we know better, we keep doing the same thing. And there are signs of hope. Globally, there are policy innovations that are beginning to take root in countries like Portugal that has decriminalized all drugs, possession of all drugs, up to a 10-day supply. They've clearly said, if you are addicted to drugs, you are not a criminal. You may have a health problem, and we want to talk to you under the health umbrella. Argentina is heading the same direction, other countries in South America. So there is some light at the end of the tunnel. So we have to really start working on that here in Canada.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in this morning.
Okay.
I've been speaking with Donald McPherson. He's the former drug policy coordinator for the City of Vancouver.